We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com for a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. And today's topic, kids, the Falcons pass rush. Since we talked about that during our show, you can tell us quickly in your call how you think they can fix their pass rush.
Finish.
And there's Bo's quick solution. So we'll go straight to the lines. We got Jaw in Cobb County. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
I think we'll have a good right game this week. I don't wish injury on no one, but I know everyone knows Tampa lost one of their receivers last night, and I don't know about Mike Evans. So being that they might not have the number one and two receivers, we should be able to tee off next week. Yep. That's my take.
No, I think you got a good point, Mike. I think Jai's got a good point because I said it earlier. I think if you can – now that you know two home run threats are off the field, I'm not saying that McMillan and Palmer – aren't guys that can hit you can hit home runs with. I'm just saying two explosive, physical home run threat receivers. Maybe come up and play a little aggressive. Jam these guys at the top of the line of scrimmage, and maybe throw their routes off by a tick here or a tick there, and maybe it allows you the chance to get home and finish.
It'll be interesting, man. Obviously, you can't replace who will be a Hall of Famer, Mike Evans, and a perennial Pro Bowler, and Chris Godwin. You can't just simply replace those guys. So I don't know if it's a simple matter of let's look at the backup wide receivers, or is it a matter of let's look at other people that will be involved. I mean, Cade Otton has come on recently, to the tune of what he had, maybe 8 catches last night. He kind of had a great night. I think you're starting to see more throws to the run backs out of the backfield. I think they'll sprinkle that in as well. And then you have to get, at least a little bit of participation out of the wide receivers, although I don't know what that'll look like next week. So I'm with you, Ja, obviously talking about it. I think that the matchups definitely favor after last night. But, Baker is going to move around. This is still an improved running game. I think when you look at the things that he's able to do out of the backfield, I wouldn't take that offense lightly, I guess, is kind of my takeaway from last night.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is with Baker Mayfield, the one thing I wouldn't doubt in this one is just his will. And I feel like he has this will to always win. I'm not saying this can't be a good get-right game, but I do think just having him and his mindset makes it possibly a bit more challenging.
And both of these teams probably coming off their two worst losses of the year. Right.
They're both coming with their worst loss of the year. I think they're also a team that's kind of, I don't want to say luck, but just kind of stumbled upon a three-headed monster in the running back backfield with Irving White and Sean Tucker. And then to your point, both of you made about Baker Mayfield, he's a guy that can move enough and pick up yards enough. I think he had he had a big run against us last year, and I can't remember, but I'm almost positive he did it again this year.
How many interceptions did he have in the last game, and they found a way to turn that around?
It's funny that you bring that up. His first four games, he only had two interceptions. His last two games, he's had five, three of which against the Saints.
He got baited twice last night by Marlon Humphrey. Twice got baited in on guys that Marlon wasn't even covering. So he definitely was seeing a few things, and the Ravens did a good job mixing it up in front of them. But it's matchups, man. You never know what you're getting week to week. I'm sure they'll have a game plan moving forward down there.
All right, let's go back to the lines. We have Kevin, that is, the limo driver. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Love the show.
Hey, appreciate it.
I think I got a concept question. The previous defensive coordinator, we used to get a little bit of pressure. I think they go back and they look at some of those concepts, at least a small package of what he used to do, install those, maybe move Caden Ellis and Trey Anderson when healthy, start moving them to the outside to get pressure, and also maybe start running some stunts between Grady and the interior linemen. They got to do something different because right now they're not giving the offenses anything different to look at. Run some confusion patterns and also put those two speed rushers on the outside, besides the obvious of signing a free agent rusher. I'll hang up and listen. That's my idea.
Yeah.
Love the show.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you.
I think there's some fruit to what you're talking about if you can get Troy Anderson back healthy, and that allows maybe to free up Caden Ellis too and be involved more. Here's what I say. They are running stunts up front. It's not the same stunts that Ryan Nielsen ran, but they are running stunts with Grady, Matthew Judon, and company. The other thing you got to keep in mind, and I know that people look at these guys and kind of just it's not a big deal to some people. The two leading sack guys you had last year in Ryan Nielsen's defense aren't here. You don't have Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree. So I think it's easy to kind of look at it and say, well, we could just do some of those things. They are trying to, but right now, from what I see, it's a personnel issue. You're not able to kind of wrap the corner when you do run the stunt. The guy who was running being the looper, who is supposed to be the one that gets home, is not able to do that right now. Whether it's Matthew Judon, you had to use DeMond Harris to do it a couple of times last week. Arnold Ebikade, you don't necessarily want to do that because he's better at rushing the edge, but they are trying to do, in my opinion, more pick stunts recently.
Yeah.
I think it'll ramp up to his point as Troy Anderson becomes more healthy and you can move Caden Ellis around more.
And I think there's two points in there that they have done it more. I think Rukurororo being active and becoming more and more of a presence in that front, because they do line changes essentially on this defense. You'll look out there and you'll have a completely different defensive line than you did the opening possession, where it's like opening possession, Tiff, it's Onyemata, you've got Grady, you've had Rook at times, and you've got Judon and maybe Ebikade somewhere in there mixed in. Then you'll see another one where you have TQ. You'll have I have to go through some of these guys because I forget. We've got so many freaking defensive linemen. But you'll have Eddie Goldman. You'll have Zach. You'll have James Smith-Williams. And then there's times where there's Zoe. The last week it was Damone Harris. So you're doing complete line changes. But the other thing real quick is you haven't had Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson, and Nate Lamon on the field at the same – or on the, all active or healthy at the same time this year other than one game. And it just so happened to be the game that you opened the season with, and it was when and they didn't even throw across the middle of the field at all for various different reasons.
Well, and here's the other thing I'll say. I think that when you look at how stunts work, the guy that's the first guy in the stunt has to be able to get penetration, right? And that's one of the things we have not been able to really do. The offensive lines that we have faced have done a good job of kind of staying on the same level, stopping the penetration. And when you can bump hips, doesn't really matter what kind of stunt they're running, right? So you have to do a better job at the first level in order for the second guy to get home on some of the stunts they're being asked to do right now.
Back to the Lions, we have Kevin, agent, or not Kevin, it's agent 78.
There it is.
That's on the line. Good morning. Nope, we got, okay, we lost him. Let's go to Chief. Good morning, Chief.
What up, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? All right. Good morning, Tribal Chief.
Sir.
Miss Blackman and All-American Mike P. Johnson.
What's up, now, bro?
When is Texas' next home game? Because I got a couple of water boys over here. They want to know because they can go steal some water at the next Texas. I'm just.
Makes good money over there. And you got to keep them half full, too. Half full.
They can get paid. But when it comes to the Falcons and the pass rush, the only thing I can think they really could do is go get John Abraham, Patrick Kearney, maybe Chuck Smith, and let them tutor some of these guys.
Wow, you're taking it back.
Ridiculous.
I saw Abe in the press box last week. He looks like he can still go, I'll be honest with you.
I saw Chuck on the sidelines last night because he's one of the D-line coaches for the edge rushing coaches for the Ravens.
Yeah, that seems to be working.
But no, it's funny. Look, I would take that in a heartbeat back to the when the Predator was here.
Dude.
He was just so much fun to watch because I'll never forget we were at the same we were out one night and we were at the same place and we hung out with Abe for a few minutes and my buddy was like, yeah, I play flag football, but it's a physical flag football league where we have offensive linemen and blocking and stuff. And Abe goes, okay, he goes, yeah, I can get after it. I'm not afraid to hit a guy. He goes, you've never been hit by somebody like me. And he goes, well, I'm this size. And he goes, yeah, I get it. But you ain't never been hit by a guy like me. And Abe said it, it was like,
it's terrifying.
It went from we're all having fun. And there was nothing, no issue, nothing like that. But we're all having fun. To he went in NFL player mode like, yeah, that's cool. But you don't go against guys like me. And that was that switch. And he, dude, he was so quick.
It's like a know your role and shut your mouth
physical
moment.
Yeah, I love. And by the way,
ding.
I was sitting on there. This is hilarious. Because I'd love. I've said, hey, why don't you get down in 3-point stands? Yeah. Let's go at it.
I what's funny, man, is shout out to him because one of the things because I spent a year or two as the swing tackle, and you're. Just because you're a swing tackle on a Sunday does not mean that you are the best backup option at either one, right? It just means mm-hmm. you can play both.
Yeah.
Right? It means you can do a little bit of both. So I spent a year as like the swing tackle. And obviously being that just an emergency situation, if you have to play left tackle, which is obviously usually Abe's side, Abe was always very matter of fact about the way he went about his business when I was over there. It was like, hey, I'm gonna basically let you know that I can win when I need to. But I'm also not going to destroy you and put you on your back. And I always loved Abe for that. Like, shout out to Abe. You know, it's like, hey, I'm just trying to get my hand placement down, Abe. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to throw on me. And at that point in his career, he wasn't that mean of a person, man. I was like, shout out to this guy.
So you're saying he let you get your moments where you needed to develop and learn stuff, but then when it was time for him to eat, he did not hold back.
We both got our work in. Yeah, without having to destroy each other.
Sounds like a true professional.
For him to destroy me. Yeah.
Much like me.
I don't even know how to follow that up, so I'm just going to go to break. We'll be back with more Falcons on the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Takes Bo back to his days in the young unwashed pit.
Contact.
I do have a question, Bo.
Yes.
This was in an era where, you know, when you had your car, what was your speaker system? Because this wasn't like a bass heavy record, like so. Like,
I mean, I just had the 210s hitting, and it didn't matter. Okay. I mean, I had the 210s in the wooden box, no carpet.
Blue's tweeters listening to this song.
I was about to say this is definitely a tweeter heavy song.
You know what song I used to hear? The second song on Bone Thugs and Harmony, Eternal 1999, it's Cleveland. You know, they talk about Cleveland in it at the beginning. I can't think of the name of the actual song. But that song would hit hard if you had a couple of 10s back there, maybe 2 8s or 2 12s or whatever.
I don't know why, but I just had this mental image of Bo with long hair, like a 94 Camaro. Just rolling up sideways on a gravel road playing Limp Bizkit.
No.
Just kidding. It's getting out and saying, that's right.
How about this? You're not far off. Short hair, gravel
frosted
road,
tips.
Limp Bizkit, no frosted tips at this point. I'd grown out of those. And a 91.5 with the saline spoiler and the 2.5-inch cowl induction hood. Let's go.
In my imagination, the windows roll down, your elbows hanging out, and you're just coming towards the camera sideways. You know what I mean? Like, with your driver's windows coming towards the camera, and it stops suddenly in the gravel and go, that's right.
So we did this real quick. We did this video for Spanish class, and it was like create a skit. And it was me and my buddy Evan and our other buddy Dan, and I played the police officer. Because I had like a Mustang, like, you know, and he had a truck. So he goes by, and this was a skit for school. We had an empty bottle of like tequila, and my buddy's hanging out of the window, and we had somebody film it. And I chased him on a gravel road, and my arm was out of the window there.
What in the Pauline
County? I might
have
been listening to Limp Bizkit. We were like 16. Our teacher said something along the lines of, I like the creativeness, but maybe don't bring a video to school with an empty alcohol bottle with you speeding down a gravel road.
You definitely stayed true to yourself. That's what I would have said to the teacher. Yeah, definitely stayed true to yourself.
They should put 91 Mustangs on iRacing.
No.
The box?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good.
Then I have to hear all about it coming in the morning.
Well, tomorrow, tonight's race night, Tiff. We got Homestead. You're going to hear about it.
It is a big one.
I wish I would have made my flight earlier. Guess I'll still be here tomorrow for that.
You know what? You're going to be talking about my first victory.
Hey, this is not a Life of Squid segment yet.
My bad.
So that is on the other side of this. Falcons and Bucks this weekend. And look, Justin Simmons did talk about how the secondary can try to help the pass rush. Do you think that could be something? Like, is he on track with that?
Yeah, I think he is. But right? But I think it, part of that is about how the defense plays, how they line up and play, not just the work they do in the back end.
Well, let's take a listen to what he had to say about how they can cover better.
Yeah, I think a lot of things. I think we can do a better job covering in the back end and, you know, making the quarterback hold the ball a little bit longer to give our rush a chance. I think setting them up in third and long, second and long situations where they're known pass downs, I think that helps. But, you know, also at the same time, you know, knowing that, you know, and Judon and AK and, you know, we got some really good rushers. And so we're going to see some chips and it's going to delay the rush a little bit more. And the way I look at it, man, it's what can I do better from a secondary standpoint? And that's covering communication, making sure that we're on top of it and on our job so that we can help the rush get there.
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of any defense, right? You have to find that right balance of how close do you want to walk up, what risk do you want to take in the back end, and how many guys you want to send up front, and how long it might take for the pass rush to get home. I mean, there was a point in this game where, you know, this game this past week against the Seahawks, where I think you're in a third down situation. You rushed seven. We rushed seven in a third down situation. Geno has to immediately get rid of the ball because there's a player in his face. And the coverage is tight enough to where he can't make an accurate throw, and then they settle for that long field goal. So I just think everything has to kind of work in conjunction. You kind of have to take your risk where you can, but also not lose sight of the fact that this defense, this pass defense, has been pretty good. I got the question on Twitter yesterday, you know, hey, our pass defense got lit up. It did, but not to the extent that Seattle's been doing most of the teams they've been playing. Geno's been going for 270-plus. He has 207 passing yards. And so it just, they're still playing a good style of defense in the back end. It's just some of the issues they get seem like backbreakers when your pass rush is not as good as it is.
Well, it seems like teams can continue drives because they are able to complete third and six based on the coverage you play. And that's where it's weird. I sometimes wonder why we don't adjust. And I guess it's because they're not sure if they're going to get home. But I'll tell you, the one thing that to me is a sign that the defense could be getting right, let's take last week away as far as the outcome, and I think the offense has something to do with that with the turnovers, but you, for the second straight week, had a good day against the run game. You held Seattle. Seattle tried to run the ball. They made an effort. They ran the ball 26 times, and they only ran for 103 yards. And other than the first drive where they were able to bust maybe some outside zone runs or there's something on the edge, Mike, that they saw, I'm not 100% sure the actual concept as far as blocking and et cetera. But other than that first drive, we did good against the run game. That is a – and I think that acts – Tiffany, I think that led to some of the amount of pressure rates that you got on Sunday.
Well, and it's probably just a matter of time, too. Don't want to do a whole bunch of coach speak. But once you start getting to the quarterback and you start getting hits, you start getting sacks, it's one of those things that kind of comes in bunches. And so you hope that it's something that can happen this weekend so that it spurs something for the next couple of games that are coming up on that stretch. But that's a lot of coach speak there. But it is true. In every meeting I've sat in where you've talked with coaches about how their defense can affect the quarterback, how they can start getting some sacks on the season, that's the number one thing they said. It's just a matter of having a breakthrough game and when that game comes.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of truth to that because I think you have those stat correction games where you find a good matchup or maybe the other team's playing from behind a little bit and you can smell blood in the water and maybe you are getting penetration on your twist stunts up front and able to do some things. I'm trying not to fall into this trap too, where it's like, well, it'll come. These guys have to go out there and make it happen, right? And I'm, you know, sitting here and we watch film back and forth and what can they do? What can they do? What can they do? I love the fact that Raheem is so bullish on this pass rush. But man, it just seems like it's the same story week in and week out where one of these guys are going to get home. What are they going to be able to do? And at the end of the day, you talk about the meteoric rise that it would be if you just simply got to the top 20. And pass rush. Like, isn't that crazy? I think, like, man, I wish we were top 20 in pass rush. Like, nobody ever says that, and yet it would be incredible if we could.
Well, you said the same story, like, every week. This has been the same story for kind of years, and I think that's why a lot of people have been vocalizing or tweeting at you guys about your frustration of it, because what has changed? You made moves in the draft. You go and get Matthew Judon in free agency, you know, and you're hoping that something's going to eventually happen, which we haven't seen happen yet. But I am optimistic about it just because of the direction. Like, we've seen the offense take steps this season, right? It took a couple games. It took after the first game with the Steelers, right? Everyone was hitting the panic button. And then it seemed like they continued to grow off of that matchup. So I feel like it's coming. This is just me being optimistic, though.
No, I think that's the only thing we can do at this point, right? I mean, and you made the Judon. I almost, Tiff, it's so funny. I almost went straight Squidbilly on Sunday. I'm listening to Rob Tribble and doing the flyover when I'm on my way home. And somebody calls in and legit is like, I think Judon should take off the red sleeves. I think it's allowing the offenses to identify him as the pass rusher and block him more easily. And I was just what are we doing if we've reached a point with the Falcons pass rush, we're worried about what color sleeves they're wearing.
I am not going to come at that person. I am going to say I know probably what it stems for. Maybe it's just, like I said before, with just the history of it. So maybe they're sitting here just trying to throw.
What edge can we get? Oh, I know. Take off the red sleeves.
Well, the red sleeves are supposed to help them draw the holding penalty. You kind of know when the guy's being held.
I'm not laughing at that person, but I am laughing at that. Suggestion.
Have you ever heard his story of why he started wearing red sleeves?
No.
It's absolutely hilarious. Because I remember reading this when they signed him. He said something along the lines of the turf always cuts his arms up, and he would wear white sleeves, but they'd always get bloody, and he got tired of it. So he started wearing red sleeves. And he was like, it's just something I do now.
Kind of gross.
Just wear red sleeves. He said his bed sheets would get bloody at home from his arms being cut up. And he was like, started wearing red sleeves, man.
Personally, I love the fact that he wears red sleeves because I can easily identify him when I am doing the broadcast, right. And I know that Judon's on the field, and when he's not, I don't know.
That's not making anybody.
It's just that people. When the I appreciate that person's passion is what I'll say. I think that's the nicest
love
thing.
That.
Because
great way to put it.
Because all they care about is. It doesn't matter what it is, the simplest thing. What's the simplest thing we can do to get this team right?
That's kind of like the compliment my mom gave me when I brought a guy home years ago. And she's like, he has a nice smile, but that's all she could really muster up to say about him. I was like, dang.
Wow.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
You're going to get mad. What an underhanded compliment, man.
Can I ask you a question? You're going to get mad at me. Did you ever take him back home? Like, did you ever bring him back your parents?
Yeah,
did he make a return visit?
I almost said something that would have gave it away. So, but yeah, he got, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious because that's the nicest thing.
Back in the day, but, you know, moms will burn you like that.
Yeah, what'd your dad say?
I don't think Donnie B never really talks about how
he feels.
A guy looks or something.
No, I just meant how he felt about him. Like,
no,
he didn't have a comment about him. Like,
probably very few words exchanged, but you know, moms are always going to go in for that haymaker. Like, you want to get a bigger dress size, sweetie. That
when me and my wife were dating, I asked her what my best physical attribute was. I was like, what's my best physical feature? She was like, you have a nice face. I was like, that's it. That's all you got.
That's good. What are you talking about? That's better than.
You know, I'm looking for just something a little more bravado. You have a friendly face, or you have a nice face. It's like, it's okay.
We did this drill.
Nice face is a.
We did that drill on
better
vacation.
Better than not having a good face, I guess.
We did that drill on vacation.
Having a nice smile.
Well, like, what was our favorite feature about our spouse? Because it was a couple's trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Coming up on Life of Squid.
Go ahead and get yourself there.
I'll tell you what my wife's favorite feature about me is physically, and some bold trade predictions. Could a pass rusher be coming to Atlanta, not from Vegas or Cleveland? Talk about next morning shifts. Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Yeah, a pretty good response, actually.
Because I feel like guys aren't always the one getting probably the compliments, right?
Sure.
So you probably feel hella good when some chick or some lady is like, "Oh, you've got really pretty eyes." I'm sure it just makes your whole day.
That's a nice compliment.
I'm gonna say something, personally as someone who is very grounded and knows exactly where I stand in life. I think when someone tells me that they like a physical feature about me, I take it like, well, I'm like, oh yeah, I get a little self-esteem boost. I'm not going to lie.
So what did you tell your wife?
Well, I don't think we need to talk about that.
Sounds like this was a round table, right? No, what was your comment for her?
Oh, I never teased that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to let you get away with that, at least, you know.
You've seen my wife. I think you can figure out maybe what I told her. Don't forget the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic.
What are you doing?
Oh, it's beautiful, but I mean, she's got a feature that draws me in.
What is happening here?
I
could have definitely probably guessed that, yes. Yeah.
But you just put that on blast about you.
What? It's a feature.
Danae thinks it's like, what? Please chime in, Danae. Please back me up. Is that
you a motorboater?
Day-Day, was that on the air?
Wait, what did he?
I don't know. I don't want to be a part of this. I want to tell you that the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic is November 25th. We have around 20 spots still available. Go to the 92.9 The Game website, the events page,
and
you can register to play with Steak Shapiro, Drew Butler, myself, Mike Johnson, Carl Dukes.
I got to get a practice round in, man.
I think Andy and Randy will be there. I know they will be. So, yeah, Day-Day will not. He's on restriction.
Yeah. You might be too. You might be too, my friend.
I didn't say anything. I just said I think you can figure it out, huh?
I don't know, son.
Anyways, so I was on the For the Win website, and they have some bold trades. I know you and Garrett, Mike, were talking about in the break, and some bold trades that could happen before the season. You know, the trade deadline. One of which is that the Saints will trade Alvin Kamara to the Broncos. I think that's too obvious and easy.
A lot of this probably comes from the fact that Alvin was seen hugging Sean Payton. Some people were trying to read his lips. Yes. They said, come get me, whatever else it may be. I agree it's obvious, but you would have said Devontae Adams to the Jets was obvious too. And here we are. So I don't know. Sometimes the obvious stuff needs to happen. I'd be all for it.
If I'm not mistaken, I think during his post-game, Sean Payton talked about Kamara, so I'm not certain, but I think he might have been mentioning the number of guys that came up. You know, there was a lot of emotions and all that kind of stuff exchanged afterwards. So you never know. I won't rule it out.
It would mean
he brought Will Lutz there. He's in.
Yeah, that's a good
kicker,
call.
So,
you know, by the way,
Ding
Dicker, the kicker last night beat me in fantasy single handedly. Like I had Lamar go off for like 40 points, and Cameron Dicker had kicked like 5 field goals and ends up winning.
You were very careful before you started saying what you were.
You're calculated. You're all in time.
Very calculated statement. All you're like, you. Kicker, the kicker.
All of you are.
I don't want Kamara to go to the Broncos because you know what that would mean for the Falcons?
I don't. I mean, good
well, actually,
things.
No. What, no, it wouldn't mean. They would only play him twice because the deadline's the 5th, right? And we play him the 10th. I couldn't remember if we played in the 2nd or 5th. It's fine. All right. The trade they had the Falcons doing is they have them going back to New England and trading for Josh O'Shea.
Yeah.
And that would O'Shea has 2 sacks for them right now, which would make him our leading sacker.
Don't say that.
Would you guys like Josh O'Shea coming back here? Pairing back up with Judon and newly with Ebikadi.
Why are you shaking your head?
I'm not sure. I'm shaking my head over the stat that he just dropped because that's frustrating. Sure. Let's go back to the well. I mean, I don't know that it does anything, but I would love anything different at this point, I guess. You know what I mean? Something to get it cranked up a little bit. That's all.
Shake some stuff up. Are you really going to play this song?
The other one they had was DeAndre Hopkins going to the Niners. Which I think is very interesting. Makes sense to me, too.
They got a lot of injuries, so it could happen. Hey, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Or this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate for a guaranteed offer in your home today. Go to markspain.com. We're going to find out. You guys got me all distracted. The song, you talking about your wife. I can't.
Day-Day's got Twitter hitting me, too. Thanks, Day-Day. They're all blaming me.
What's coming up on the Steakhouse when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.